Well, I guess it was about 5 years ago that, maybe a little more than that, Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson teamed up to write a book together. The book was called Peter and the Starcatchers, and it was a big, big, big hit. Multi-gigantic best-selling book. I'm using technical publishing terms here. It was such a big hit that they wrote a sequel to it, and then they wrote a sequel to that, and that was the trilogy. Of course, in the 21st century America, trilogy doesn't mean trilogy anymore, particularly when you've got success, and so now they've got another book in the Peter and the Starcatchers series. It's called The Bridge to Neverland, and Dave and Ridley are both joining me now here on the Big 550 KTRS. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Paul.
What book are we up to in the trilogy?
27.
We're English majors, Paul.
Congratulations on the success. I know you're on a book tour in Phoenix now. Before we talk about the book, how's the tour going? Dave, I know how much you love doing these things.
I do, and actually we're in Dallas, and the way I can tell the difference is in Phoenix it was 106 degrees, and in Dallas it's 109 degrees, and I'm not making either of those temperatures up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's how I know the difference between the two. Phoenix is your cool 106. Dallas is a kind of a toasty 109.
Uh-huh. And how is it getting out there and pushing the books again for you guys?
It's been fun, actually. This is really not a in that series. I mean, I guess sort of is it refers to the Starcatcher series, but we think of this as sort of a book on its own.
New series.
Yeah. And it's called The Bridge to Neverland, and it's set in modern times, and it references the Starcatcher series. In fact, it treats them as if they were true, but sort of springs from there.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, they kind of got a weird start to it. We were promoting a Starcatcher's book, and we're driving. Well, Ridley, you want to describe the vehicle we're driving around in to promote it?
Driving in a wrapped rental car that had all the artwork from our book spread around its doors and hood and roof.
Wow.
However, we were driving around in it in the pitch black of night, so I'm not sure Disney Books got their money worth.
Yeah, we'd be like on the New Jersey Turnpike in the rain at around 10:30 p.m.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, like, I wonder if these cars going by are saying, huh, look at that, a book. Let's pull over the Vince Lombardi rest stop here and see if they can have a bookstore in there.
Buy one.
When you're riding around in a wrapped book, can people see through the windows? Because I know with some buses that have that, you can't see through the windows at all. So would anybody have known, oh, it's Dave and Ridley?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
We hope they couldn't see us because we were driving a fairly embarrassing vehicle. But anyway, it was really literally in that vehicle, because Ridley and I are both guys, we had how many GPSs did we have, Ridley?
Roughly 17.
You know, because you can't have too many GPSs.
Right.
And we get to talking about, you know, how the whole world has been mapped and everybody knows where everything on the globe is. And we think, well, what if Neverland Island still existed? What if it was existed in modern times? But how would that be? I mean, how could you have it exist and yet no one know where it is? And we started cooking up an idea for a story where two modern kids, find this document and... And at first it just seems like a strange document. And then they start to look into it. And the more they look into it, the more they realize it's sort of a puzzle leading them to something. And when they finally find that something, they realize they never should have found it, that they've opened a very dark door and released some very evil forces. But at that point, it's too late for them to do anything. They've kind of got themselves trapped, and they put themselves and other people in a lot of danger. And the only way they can get out of that danger is to find Neverland, which they have come to realize in the course of all this research is a real place. But the question is, where is it and how do you get there from now? And that's where we came up with the idea of the bridge to Neverland. And the bridge, it's actually a significant word in this. I don't want to get too far into it, what we mean by it, because we really want people to actually read the book. But
yeah.
At one point, Mr. Albert Einstein makes an appearance.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You've heard of him, right, Paul?
I have.
You have him on the show regularly, I believe.
I went to school with him. and when they get to Neverland Island, they find J.J. Abrams and he explains law.
We do have a character named J.D., which we named him J.D. He's a physics professor at Princeton University, which is where Albert Einstein went to teach. And we named him J.D. because we want him to be played in the movie version of The Bridge to Neverland by Johnny Depp.
Ah.
That was our thinking there. So, Johnny, and we know Johnny listens to your show.
Sure.
Johnny, call us. We've got a part for you.
He actually likes to download the podcast. He doesn't get up early enough in the morning to hear the actual show. by the way, how's the transfer of printed matter to stage and screen going for you guys?
Fabulous. Disney had spent 4 years turning Peter and the Starcatchers into a stage play with music, and they opened it off-Broadway last spring, and it got just a fabulous review in the New York Times, which sold out the entire run the next day. So they added a week, and that sold out, and they added another week, and that sold out, and then they had to leave the theater. So there are rumors that they're going to open it on Broadway this spring.
Wow. And do you guys get to have input in that, or are you there?
We do. We get to sit in the seats and watch.
We input by applauding.
You don't get to be like the, you know, in All That Jazz, where they're all sitting out in the audience and they're watching the dancers, and you don't get to help choose the dancers?
Well, that would be, you know, how come we didn't get to do that?
I don't know. They never let us in on the cast.
Unfortunately, there is a dance number in this, and it's a hilarious dance number, but almost all the people in it are men. So that would be that exciting for us.
Yeah, probably not.
Thankfully, Paul, we had nothing to do with this, which is why it's a success.
And what about a movie version?
Well, there are rumors of that, too, but this is, you know that business. Rumors are more often rumor than truth, so we'll see.
Dave, how's the writing process changed from the beginning? I know originally you were just sending chapters back and forth. Has it been modified?
No, that is still, we found a system that works amazingly well, where we outline the book together, and then we break it up into chapters according to which characters dominate that chapter. And then you write your chapter, send it to the other guy. He can change it any way he wants, send it back, and it keeps going back and forth. We've always called it ping pong. In fact, we actually, when we send the chapters to each other, it'll be like ping chapter 32, pong chapter 32.
Yeah,
and it's worked fabulously for us. If anything, it's gotten easier over the years, but we love it.
But in our conversations about previous books, there have always been times when one of you has done something that the other one has read and said, "What are you doing?"
Oh, we get into
me, Paul.
Yeah, I know, Ridley. You're the one saying to Dave, "What are you doing?"
Completely the opposite.
No, it goes both ways. We do get in insane arguments. I probably told you this before, but there was a time when I yelled at Ridley, and I was not kidding. I was quite angry. A mermaid would not do that.
I also complicate the plot, and Dave will write me a note and say, "That's time traveling hamsters."
Yeah, that's my shorthand code for if we need to get a boat from point A to point B. And, you know, I would think, well, they'll just sail the boat from point A. But Ridley will end up with this idea that involves, like, two balloons and a submarine, you know?
have either of you had ideas that were far too outrageous to include in the book, and so you had to scrap them, even though at first you thought, this is great?
Yeah, but you know what happens more often than that, I think, is, and Ridley is the guy who comes up with most of the kind of things that I think at first are far-fetched, but then they end up being, like, the second book, the whole book, the Shadow Thieves book, was really Ridley's just idea, and I thought, nah, that's ridiculous. And I was wrong. So it's always worth...
A rare event, I might add.
A rare event?
It's worth tossing the idea out, usually, because even if it seems, like, dumb at first, it often leads to something else. I think there's a name for that, but it works pretty well in just most creative processes, I think. It's easy to just shoot things down. But if you don't shoot them down right away, if you think about them a little, sometimes something good comes of even what seems to be a crazy idea at first.
The yeah. Disappointing thing about working with Dave Barry is to be that funny, you have to be really smart. So it really starts to impede my thought process because Dave is way too smart.
No.
Yeah, this from a man who's written 165 books and plotted out 312 people's death in his murder mysteries.
Yeah, and they all die in different ways. That's the little scary thing about Ridley is... There's nobody who knows more ways to kill a person than Ridley Pearson.
Don't get me mad.
Now, I was sorry I couldn't be there at the St. Louis Public Library when you guys were in town.
We missed you. Usually you're our introducer. Today,
I wanted you as our MC.
This time we had juggling pirates.
I'm sorry?
We had... we did.
No, literally. Literally, I'm sorry.
They were great.
But what I was going to ask you is... Last time we did it, we were taking questions and answers from the audience, and I was, you know, out there in the crowd with the microphone, finding the kids who were going to ask you questions, and they came up with marvelous questions, and I wonder how much of the input you must get from the kids who have read your books do you then turn into the content for this or other books?
I don't know that it comes, you know, specifically in the form of somebody says, you know, you ought to do this, you know. But what happens is we see what resonates with kids, with you know, what they like. And then it kind of inspires us to do more like that. Although I have to say, I'm just to come back to the book we're talking about, which is The Bridge to Neverland, he said dutifully. We were promoting the book that sort of led to this, the one that we were driving around with the GPSs at the St. Louis County Library, and we talked to a kid, and this is when we had already sort of come up with this idea for Hiding Neverland, and a kid came up to us in the St. Louis County Library and said, you know, I have an idea for a book. And I said, what is it? He said, well, you know, you talk about, you know, Neverland today. Where is it today? I said, we're going to write that book. So,
yeah, you know, now that you've admitted that publicly, that kid is probably going to sue you for stealing his idea.
No, because I can document when we emailed the proposal to our
editor. Wow, Dave, you said that really.
That event.
You said that really.
You ask amazing questions, Paul.
But you said that really fast. Your disclaimer there that you can document it. You said that really fast, like this may sometimes.
You backdated it. No. No, it was. I mean, my point is, the kids are always thinking of, you know, now that you've done that, why don't you do this? Or what's the next one? Where's it going to be?
Yeah. Well, that's great that you're getting input from them. And my last question for you today is, do kids buy your book on a Kindle, or do they want the actual book?
Well, it's hard. I think it's hard for us to answer that, because when we see them, they're buying the book, because we're in a bookstore.
Uh-huh.
But I guess they do buy them in Kindle. We have signed Kindles, which is a little bit weird.
Yeah.
At bookstore signing, somebody will bring, I bought your book, but on the Kindle. That's usually grown-ups, though.
We signed a Kindle cover yesterday. But, Paul, to answer your question seriously, my Kingdom Keepers series is now selling 25% of its run is sold electronically.
Wow. Wow. Well, good luck with the new one. It's called The Bridge to Neverland, the newest from the team of Dave Barry and Ridley Pearson, who individually continue to write terrific stuff, but together are creating magic for kids of all ages. Boy, that really sounded like Disney wrote it, didn't it?
Do it again. Magic for kids from all ages.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul.
Good luck with the book. It's 9:51. This is the Big 550 KTRS.